You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
It's great to have you back here, and we're looking forward to saying hello to Michael Casagrande from AL.com, who had a pretty amazing year as a columnist there for the first time after covering beats for most of his career. Michael, great to see you. I've chuckled at way too many of your articles, poking fun at yourself and the rest of us schmoes who have been wrong about practically everything. Good afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Paul. It's always a pleasure.
Before we get specific, this year covering Alabama from a little more of a distance than you have, but no matter what you write about in Alabama, you're never too far from Tuscaloosa. What has it been like?
It's been a fascinating season for sure. I mean, there have been years where this has been a great team, a championship team, not always an interesting team. This year has been much different. It's been a fascinating group. Story arcs, storylines have been plentiful. You go from the depths of the Texas game, the win against South Florida, where I mean they're down to 13th, I think, in the country. Just whether they're going to play in Orlando or Tampa on New Year's Day, and to this point now where they're talking about a Rose Bowl against Michigan. Truly an interesting team, interesting personalities, just an interesting group to cover. And you could tell, I mean, even looking at Nick Saban, I think he's enjoying this team, coaching this team, probably more so than some of the more recent teams where it was more of a challenge. So a fascinating group this season for sure.
Let me start with him, Michael, because you've seen him for a long time. I mean, he's been there since 2007. You've been there most of that time chronicling his every move. I know some of the narratives just get baked into the cake, whether they're true or not. He's having more fun. He's taking orders from Miss Terry. I mean, I don't know if this stuff is true or not. You've been around that program. Help us understand how you viewed Nick Saban this year. Not so much with a critical eye, but I think we've all viewed him with a little more of a gracious eye, a little more forgiving I think he's been the same way.
Yeah, no, it's been an interesting, I mean, from watching him from when I first got here, clearly much more on edge, more combative, clearly with us than with some of the writers that are today. But yeah, he seems to be enjoying himself. He seems to be enjoying the ride. You know, hasn't lost the edge on the field. Clearly, you've seen the moments in the games, on the sidelines with the players. He's not a lovable teddy bear just yet, but he seems to be enjoying the good times more so than maybe in the past, or you see more smiles after the game, after a win, taking it all in. So it's interesting to watch the differences between where he was, who he used to be, and who he is now at this point in his career.
I think some have said, Michael, that you know maybe it's because this team are underachievers, but in actuality they're not. I mean, you knew at the beginning of this season that this was enormously talented. What we didn't know is whether they would come to fruition.
It's true. I mean, I think that in some sense that before the season that this was, in very relative terms, people talk about a rebuild. You when you lose, you know, two of the top three, four draft picks and Bryce Young and Will Anderson, that some of the talent level, I said from the beginning, you know, who's going to be the guy who's going to step up? Who's going to be the dude who's going to be the alpha on this team? And you weren't really sure for a long time. And you clearly see now with Jalen Milroe, Terrion Arnold, McKinstry, there are a lot of guys who are stepping into those roles. But it was a very undefined team heading into the season where you just weren't sure what they were going to do, who they were going to be, what their identity was going to be. I've written about it a few times that I go back to a conversation I had with a senior staffer before the season that said that this team really seemed to enjoy football. They loved the game maybe more so than the last few teams. And there was just a different spirit in that locker room, in that program, that you can't always tell. And I feel like the last two seasons, there was something missing in that sense, and that you can see this year. It's intangible, but you can see a difference in this program and the way they handle end of game situations and close games, where it was a kind of a coin toss the last few years. But other than the Texas game, they've responded in some of these big games, big moments.
And in terms of what happened two, three weeks ago against Georgia, that I don't think we've really quite, maybe you have, but I'm not sure we've quite been able to grasp the significance of that. Maybe moving forward, I mean, there was so much attention to Florida State and who got in and who shouldn't, and I want to talk about that in a second. But in one afternoon in Atlanta, Nick Saban and his team really derailed what was the single greatest threat to, in some ways, his current stature, not his legacy, but, you know, maybe how it was going to end up for him. I'm curious your thoughts.
Sure. I mean, this is a Georgia team that appeared destined for a third straight championship, something that Saban hasn't done, that nobody's done since the 40s in the University of Minnesota. So, yeah, it was just kind of penciled in as an inevitability at a certain point that Georgia was going to just run the slate like they did the last few years. And I'll be the first to admit that when I got to Atlanta that championship day, I was not planning on writing about Alabama winning that game. Get, you know, one or two possessions into it, and I really didn't believe that was how this is going to end up. But it was really a fascinating game to see. You know, it almost followed some of the blueprint of the 2021 SEC championship game. Georgia takes the lead, and Alabama just kind of beats them up from that point forward. It wasn't quite the margin this time, but there were certain aspects of this game that were, you know, the physical beating was there up front. Moving the line of scrimmage more so, just something you wouldn't expect from a Georgia team that had been so physical the last few seasons and kind of built this current run on being so tough up front. So, yeah, it really changed a lot of the storylines that Georgia goes from being number one, unequivocal number one, to out of the playoffs and just that quickly, and not even number five. So, yeah, a historic game, historic season in so many different ways.
And I think a lot of people think in terms of Alabama's supposed to win against Michigan and finish this thing off. I know that's critical, where we are talking Nick Saban and Alabama football here, but it's almost hard for me to believe that no matter what happens in either one or two games, it will surpass, at least from in the neighborhoods, so to speak, the importance of what happened there. So I spin it to a week and a half from now, just what you sense as we get ready for, you know, truly remarkable game in terms of the pageantry of the history of college football.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating. It's Alabama, Michigan, and the Rose Bowl. Classic setting, beautiful place, two classic, you know, traditional programs. Michigan obviously is there quite often. I've been there quite often being in the Big Ten, but you know, Alabama the first time since the 40s playing in an actual Rose Bowl game there. So it's so many storylines, so much history and tradition. It's going to be, you know, it's a great uniform game, great photos. It takes you back. I've been thinking about the full circle nature of this with the Rose Bowl, Alabama beating Texas, two big programs in that Rose Bowl, BCS championship game to win that 2009 championship. And, you know, it's been 14 years since then, and what's happened since then, there's a lot of symmetry with all that. But yeah, it's in terms of the game itself, contrasting styles, contrasting cultures. Michigan sometimes feels, you look at some of their games, it's like a different era of football that they're playing, kind of old school. You have a quarterback who throws the ball eight times in a game. You don't see that very often. You don't see that in the SEC very often. So kind of an old school versus a new school. Obviously more athletes on Alabama's side. So it's going to be interesting to see how they match up. Clearly they haven't fared well in the last two playoff games. Georgia blew their doors off 2 years ago, and then TCU last year, a close game, but it really discredits that close game loss when you see what TCU did in that championship game. So I think Michigan has a lot to prove, and it's kind of a rare opportunity for Alabama to be the team that is not out there to prove something, where the pressure is more so on Michigan.
With Michael Casagrande. Michael, yeah, you did a piece recently about one of our favorite subjects here, and that's the politics of it all. And it was quite humorous, talking about, depending on your favorite state, representative, your state attorney general. I realize it seems like we're past that, although we may not ever be in some circles. The headline, the dumbest thing you'll read this week. Let's talk about that for a second, because I bought the headline. I read it.
Yeah, I mean, it was just whatever day that was, Thursday, Friday, sitting at home, seeing another politician put out a pointless, toothless statement, letter, whatever it was, demanding another semifinal, adding the Orange Bowl so that these two teams can get their trophy too. It was just very, I almost struggled to write about it because I didn't want to give them the attention that they so clearly were looking for, that was not serious in any way, but it just sort of like, maybe that just snapped something inside of me and said, I gotta lampoon these people one more time. If it's, you can't see one more straight news story trying to take these people seriously with their clearly never going to happen, never going to make any difference, especially since the playoff system is changing next year to where this wouldn't be an issue next season. So I don't know. Maybe I just had enough with hearing these politicians try to pretend that they care about sports or they care about their voters who are going to vote for them because they took up for the team. Just kind of silly.
Well, Michael, I feel even worse because on Wednesday night on the Reveal show, I praised Georgia. I said, at least in Georgia, nobody has done what Florida has done with the state attorney general. And I'm not even sure I'd finished the statement when that story popped up on the Twitter feed. Or maybe I gave the guy the idea. I have no earthly idea, nor do I care, because none of it really matters.
No, it's nothing's going to change. They're not going to. The playoff committee clearly, I think he responded to Rick Scott and his whatever request a few weeks ago, telling them that just nothing's going to happen, nothing's going to change, you're not going to win, we're not going to make this game anything more than it's going to be the Orange Bowl. So it's just sort of wasting time, but it's, I guess it gives us something to write about and something to talk about here today. Fill some time on the air to talk about just the buffoons who are not really doing anything to help the country, but, you know, pretending to care about sports.
Back to the field before you go. We talked to Feldman yesterday, and he's talked to all these experts, mm-hmm. as everybody will. I mean, this is there's a long buildup to these games. We're used to reporters like you getting ready for a game every 7 days. This is a nearly a month-long slog. Just your sense. It seems like the odds makers have Michigan favored. The perception, even though the line hasn't changed very much, have Alabama winning. Does any of this factor into the actual game itself?
It just makes it more interesting to me to see, and I wrote about it last week, about some of these computer models that have Michigan as a 10-plus point advantage over Alabama, and just how the eye test and the computers seem to really disagree. It's just such an interesting clash of styles. I mean, clash of schedules, scheduling philosophies. Michigan clearly didn't play anybody, even try to play anybody in the non-conference schedule, and a week beginning to the Big Ten schedule, they weren't really even tested until November. Alabama clearly took a different path. So there's so many different ways of looking at this game. But I always love reading Bruce's, the anonymous coaches who weigh in on things. Clearly, they were giving Alabama the edge just from the talent standpoint, the athleticism standpoint. It's an interesting style, clash of styles, old school Big Ten versus modern SEC. It's, you know, I'm going to settle this one more time, I guess, on a quite a grand stage.
Nothing at stake but the future of bragging for a very long time down in this part of the country. Michael, it's always great to see you. Have a Merry Christmas with your family, and we'll see
you
out there.
Yep.
Great to have Michael Casagrande on from AL.com. We come back. We have plenty of time for your phone calls. We've scooted the experts out of the way to make room for the real experts.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We were here talking to John a minute ago. We ran into the break, and then we had Michael, and I think, which one is John? Which one is that the top one? Okay, John, let me allow you to finish your call. Go right ahead.
And Paul, if you just want me to go away next time, just let me know.
No, we're spreading Christmas cheer right now.
You know, when I look at Alabama and Georgia, I think of the analogy of old money versus new money.
Wow.
And in Georgia, with this kind of new money mentality, you know, what do people that come from new money sometimes, some of the mistakes they make?
Well,
you know, sometimes they kind
of
talk
about their money.
You know, that's they love to talk about their money, and they forget where they came from. And they forget the people that came before them, and they
right.
say stupid things like maybe all of Saban's 7 national titles he owes to Kirby Smart.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he's the only reason why Saban ever won, and he can't win without him. You, the stupid things come out of your mouth, and you know, reality is with the 12-team playoff, Paul, Georgia can no longer hide from Alabama. The championship is going to have to come through Nick Saban as long as he's coaching. And we all know on that first national title, right after we had beat the rear ends in the SEC championship and went into that game, Georgia played a great game, but we were injured. That second national title they got, they know the only team in the country that could have beat Georgia that year was Alabama, and they kept us out of the playoffs. And then we meet them again. Then we wait our turn, finally, years. It almost seemed like a decade to get back in front of Georgia. And once again, Saban stomps their head in. Like, I just want this to be a reminder, Georgia, next time you win again, keep your mouth shut. And don't go after the GOAT, for crying out loud. Don't go after the greatest of all time, 201-28 at Alabama. National championships at two different schools. For crying out loud, just be grateful that you had a national title. Be great that you have a great coach in Kirby Smart. But when you go after the GOAT and say that you're the only reason he ever won, let this be a lesson to you. Don't forget who the greatest of all time is. And don't forget, you have to come to Tuscaloosa next year. And every championship from now on from Georgia will have to go through Nick Saban. And your hiding days are over with.
Well said, John. Thank you very much. Johnny B. is up next.
Dear Lord, John from Coleman, I'm glad you got that out of your system. I just tuned in a little while ago when I called, and I had a strange thing happen last week. I was shopping, and I went in this bar, and I saw this guy with a beard, and he's got kind of gap in his teeth like me and everything, and I kept looking at him, and he said, "Come over here." And it turns out he was Brad. It was Brad.
Michael
and he
Brad.
Had this big dude with him, his cousin Shane. And I met him at a bar. And, you know, we're sitting there having a good time cutting up, and I had to go to the restroom, so I just kind of left my stuff, my phone, and a few things, and I'd purchased a couple of $100 gift cards, and I left them laying there. And when I come back, Brett and Shane was gone, and my $200 gift cards were gone. And I hope he don't try to use those to maybe pay off Larry or pass those on to somebody else, because that would be bad.
Well, got that bad news for you, Johnny B. I think that's what happened.
He paid? Oh, no.
Larry got two 50s today from the brat.
I canceled those things, Paul. No, that's going to be embarrassing when Larry goes in.
Yeah, you can do that. I had that happen recently. As long as you have the number on the gift card, you can call a number and cancel it. So Larry's going to show up at the package store with about 15 cartons of Bud Light, and they're not going to give him a thing, are they?
Oh, that's what's going to be funny. He's going to try to sneak in there and get that Bud Light because it's on sale, and then he's going to be stuck, and they're going to call up people to the counter and security, and here's Larry going to try to explain these stolen cards.
So then when the security guy tells Larry not to talk back, Larry's going to take a swing. He's going to miss, fall over, hit his head, and have to call the paramedics.
This could be the end of Larry, because of Brett stealing my cards.
I think there's something. I think you're behind it, Johnny. You're culpable in this conspiracy. Thanks for the call. Caleb is up next in Alabama. Hello, Caleb.
Hey, Paul. It was 10 years ago today that I bought NCAA 2014 on my PlayStation 3. And
Wow. You
can imagine I'm pretty excited about NCAA 2024 coming out next year, but I don't know if you've been in the loop on all this, but there's a big deal how this is going to impact NIL, or how NIL will impact, you know, EA Sports. And if you looked at this, you know, EA set aside about $5 million for college football players, and they actually have to opt in, right? It's not just a given. And if you break that down, that breaks down to about $500 a player, right? So Okay. Doesn't sound like a lot, but you have people out there like Caleb Williams who are telling people not to opt in because they think it should be more. And you have other guys who are like, hey, I'm just happy to have my face in a video game, right? So I think it's going to be interesting how this all plays out, especially with earlier when Amanda was talking about these labor boards, right? But if it turns out you now have the backing of a union, I can only imagine the amount of money that they're going to try to leverage out of a company like EA Sports, which, for those who don't know, a $1 billion company, right, running all sort of video games. So I think they're going to try to leverage that to the best of their ability. And, you know, if you look at, you know, something like NBA 2K, which is another NBA game that EA makes, they have set aside $1.1 billion that they don't pay the players directly. They pay the union. They pay the National Basketball Players Association, whatever the name of that is, right? They set aside $1.1 billion for that. So I think we're only going to see the tip of this. And now I'm pretty excited about it. I hope it doesn't derail anything. But, you know, I know that their EA Sports is really working to get the college and the schools on board first and then have the players opt in secondly. So, you know, I just kind of want to hear your comments on that, what you think. But really, one last thing, the cool feature of NCAA 2024 is you can actually be a coach in the game and coach your own team. But actually, if you quit halfway through the season in the game, or you get fired, EA Sports actually has to pay you. Thanks, Paul.
I like that. Thank you, Caleb. Jason is up next in Ohio. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you for calling.
You know, I wanted to call you because I want to give you the benefit of the doubt, because for a long period of time, you're not really my favorite, but I'm not like some of these fans and stuff like that. I thought I'd give them the benefit of the doubt. What is your dislike of that I just think I feel from you on Harbaugh and Michigan football?
Oh, it's not really personal.
Okay.
It's just one of those fan bases that I've had fun with. In fact, I was doing an interview today with a national publication, and I was kind of going off, and as I did it, I was halfway into it. I realized the woman interviewing me is a University of Michigan graduate, so But I think she thought I was doing it purposely. I really did not realize it. But I think it's just for phone calls like this, just to see how sensitive University of Michigan people are, which I already know the answer to.
Well, yeah, it's the same way on both sides. I mean, you can never really, you know, people that are biased of their teams, they have their feelings and it gets their emotions blocked of what, you know, the truly, you know, I've been a Michigan fan all my life, but, you know, I live in Ohio and I argue with Ohio fans. And I said, you know what, to sit there and say that Harbaugh sucks, I said, you guys are idiots. I said, that'd be like me. I don't like Urban Meyer, but I would love, on the opposite side, but for me to say I wouldn't want him to be my coach, you'd be an idiot. I don't like Saban, same way, but I would want him as my coach. I don't want him on the opposite side, you know. And I also know, and I've told people, I said, you know what, for the longest time, and I believe this, not just because I argue with Ohio fans, I said, you know, I've said this for a long time. I said, the Big Ten has really been weak. You can't get a gauge on our team because of the in-conference play.
No.
And I said, you know, and even Michigan playing Alabama, you know, I'd rather play them than Texas. I think people are not giving Texas as much respect as, you know, that they deserve. But I think Michigan and Alabama, it's going to, you know, determine on the line of scrimmage. If Michigan can get to the Alabama quarterback and, you know, present chaos towards him, it's going to be hard for him to, you know, recover. But, you know, same thing on the other end. We've lost a lot of offensive linemen as well.
Well, thank you, Jason. And the real answer is I love to have fun with Michigan fans because they have such a great sense of humor, as you could tell from that caller. We will be right back. We have more to come after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Welcome back as we continue here. Let's grab some more phone calls. Catfish is up next.
Hey, hello.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Paul? Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
First thing, I would ask you to remember your Southern upbringing, and whenever you get a caller like the guy out of St. Louis, just listen to him and then just say, bless your heart, and
you know,
everybody will understand
you're right,
what you're telling him. Okay?
I tend to forget.
And, you know, I really appreciate the depth and breadth of the information that comes out on your show. I heard from Bill from Alabama. I have never mentioned it before, but I did Civil War cavalry reenactments for over 20 years. And I sent in a picture of me on my war horse to Luke Braylon, hoping I might get it put on the, you know, as the picture of your callers. You might check with Luke, see what happened to it. It's been over there for two,
Luke,
3 weeks.
Luke's a couple of doors down right now. Luke, what do you got? Is that true?
I emailed it to him. I don't know what they did with it, but anyway.
Let me offer this, Catfish. I did hear from Luke a minute ago, and I'm not going to go too deep into the weeds, but there was one thing in the picture that we could not allow.
Okay, and I figure probably I understand why.
And by the way,
you know, if you want
the Civil War, it just it had something to do with something you were holding.
Yeah, I figured that might be a problem. Well, you might ask them if they can crop it to just include me and Mohawk.
I'll check with
and,
him.
And, you know, get rid of the other deal. But what I wanted to – I was going to ask you, when are you going to change your song to include Texas and Oklahoma? And I have a suggestion if you have a moment to listen
yeah,
to
number,
it.
Number one, let me make sure people hear me on this because I think this is a constant topic. It does not become official until July 1st. So we will talk about Texas and Oklahoma, but officially we're not doing anything until then.
Okay. And I understand completely. But what I was wondering about is, you know, you've got lots and lots of fans all over the country, and it might be fun for y'all to set up a contest among your viewers to submit verses to include Texas and Oklahoma and maybe have a winner to refer to your songwriter to see, you know, if Texas and Oklahoma could get included. Somebody might come up with a really funny line. It wouldn't be me. I'm not that bright. But
no, I think it's a good idea. I mean, nothing to do with the guy who sings the song, but I think it would be better if the fans wrote the lyrics.
Yeah, it'd be kind of fun. And last but not least, I agree with your sentiment from 2014 when Alabama fans didn't support Alabama against Ohio State. And I encourage everybody to go to the Rose Bowl. I have saved my nickels and dimes, and I'm going to the Rose Bowl. And I hope I get to see you. And I would be so blessed if I got to shake your hand.
Well, I would
so
love that.
God bless you.
Catfish thing. And what we were referring to, I was talking, I think it was on Jock's yesterday, or that a lot of in 2014, we did our show one afternoon, maybe the day before the game. I guess it was the day before the game. Outside, I think Archie Manning had a restaurant. And there were a lot of fans around us, and I mean thousands of people, and there were no Alabama fans. And I kept every time I ran into a few Alabama people, I said, "Where are you? This is a playoff game." And they said most people saved their money and bought tickets for Dallas the next week for the CFP final, and of course Alabama lost. I'm not saying that made one difference. I think Ezekiel Elliott, you know, gashing Alabama on an 80-yard run probably had more to do with it than anyone. The fact that Alabama really wasn't that good, neither was Ohio State, was on third-string quarterback. But I can't believe anyone, given the choice of which game to go to, wouldn't go to this game over the national championship game on a Monday night in Houston, Texas. I'm in and out of Houston a reasonable amount, including a couple of times this year. And I'm sure it's a great city. But I know Pasadena, and I know the Rose Bowl. And on New Year's Day at 2 o'clock in the afternoon out there, 5 o'clock on the East Coast, it is usually one of the most iconic moments of the year in sports. Monday night, January 9th in Houston will be exciting. Can't wait. But it's quite different than the Rose Bowl. We'll take a short break, and we are back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, we are back. Always interesting when we hear from this individual because we're afraid he may need something from us. Larry, is there anything
hey,
wrong?
Hey, man.
Is something wrong?
Do we need any...
Yeah.
Hey, check it out, man. That dude you had on there that had all the Georgia thing behind him.
Oh,
He said he had, Georgia hadn't lost but one game to Alabama in 3 years. Hey, see if he wants to bet 100 on that. I make some easy money on this show, boy.
he was acting like nothing happened, just kind of a minor hiccup.
He said, quote, Georgia's only lost one game to Alabama in 3 years. What's wrong with Georgia? They got amnesia or what? That boy's crazy. Ask him he won't bet me 100.
I don't think they have amnesia.
They act like it. He don't know they ain't lost but one. They lost two games. And the only reason they won one of them is I'll say it again. If we hadn't been for losing our two number one draft pick receivers, and guess what? 2024 and 2025, we own it, baby.
Hey, Larry, so have you heard a Georgia fan complain that their two most important receivers, McConkie and Bowers, were banged up? Have you heard a single one complain?
Yeah. I mean, let me tell you something. I'm going to say something. I'll say it again. Georgia, you got them little britches pulled, doggy britches pulled down in spank crimson. Mm-hmm. Now get over it and quit knocking me on
like
Twitter
watching,
and all this crap.
Because
I don't pay no damn attention. I drank my beer and mind my business and roll damn tight, Jack.
Okay. Larry's obviously got a theme for the next year. David is up next in Illinois. Hello, David.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I've been watching your show for years, and my brother, who is in Shreveport, Louisiana, is an LSU fan, and I'm an Alabama fan, so that works out well.
That's great.
Normally, but one thing that we love is this Advent season is waiting to see the visit from Archbishop Moreno. I was wondering if he's scheduled, and if you could tell us when the Archbishop will be visiting your show, because that's part of our Christmas.
Yes, he will be here. He'll be here Friday. Let me start over again. He'll be here Thursday afternoon, 2 days from literally right now. He'll be joining us 6 p.m. in the East Coast, 5 p.m. Central Time.
Wonderful.
And,
wonderful. Well, thanks, Paul. I appreciate it.
There's not a single guest that we get more phone call. I mean, we start getting these calls, and I finally touch base with Archbishop Moreno, and he tells me he's done a service or two. He's back in Alabama right now from the Vatican, and it's just something that really means a great deal, and we can't wait to spend some time with him 2 days from now. Let's get right back to the calls, and Mark is in Mississippi. Hello, Mark.
Hotty tighty, God's almighty, who the hell are we, Paul? And plan on hearing a lot of that next season. I called it, Paul. My crystal ball was right. Mid-season on your show, right at the LSU game, I said LSU, after the LSU game, I said Ole Miss would go 10-2, and we would go to a New Year's Six Bowl. And I said at the time, I like our chances no matter who we play. And if we win this game, we go 11-2, and we will beat a legit top-10 team. And that's a good way to end the season. And, Paul, I said earlier on your show in the season that you were a stowaway aboard the Lane train. Well, as it turned out, Paul, you picked the right train to sneak aboard because the Lane train is rolling. He is building a monster in Oxford, and I can't wait. And I want to say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you, Paul. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you, Mary. Was Mark on like a payphone where he only had 45 seconds? Remember those back in the day? You would have a calling card. And you get he did not waste a word. I like that. Let's check in with Tony in Georgia. Hello, Tony.
Hey, Paul. First time caller here. And I'm a Georgia fan. And I'd like to tell the Alabama fans, congratulations. They won the game. to go win the Natty. I get tired of hearing the Georgia fans whining. They had their opportunity. They didn't take advantage of it.
Well, that's exactly right, Tony. I'm glad you said that.
Have a good day, Paul.
Thank you. You too. Jay is in Mobile.
Roll Tide, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Paul, I like these new schedules for the SEC. No more cakewalks for Georgia. And I think Ole Miss ended up with the easiest schedule. I just think it's going to be interesting with Texas and Oklahoma and got the playoffs next year and all the changes in the other conferences. I got a question for you, Paul.
Yes, sir.
As far as the playoffs go, did I hear correctly that some of the games will be played on campus?
Oh, yeah. The first two rounds will be played. Is that right? The first round definitely. Is the second round on the campus or not? I need to double check. But the first round is definitely on campus.
Well, that's going to be good. Well, Paul, I want to wish you and your staff a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And Roll Tide.
Roll Tide back. Thank you very, very much. Gene is up next. Hey, Gene.
Where's say, Paul?
Hey there.
I tell you what, Paul. You know, I love Nick Saban, and I think the whole Crimson Tide family do, but Nick Saban should be put in jail, Paul. He should be put in jail for what he did to that damn dog. In the SEC championship, he needs to be put in jail for what he's been doing to that dog, Paul.
That was criminal.
And I tell you what, Paul. Anybody in our way, you just need to let them know we're coming for them. We headed out to California with cutoff overalls. And Michigan, you better be ready. Paul, this is the problem, Paul. Let me say this real quick before I go. We love all other college teams. But what happens is when they try to be on Alabama level, that's when you kick the fan base off. Georgia, you forget.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.